Today's text is pretty simple. It's pretty, I think it's easy to interpret, and we're going to walk through them pretty quickly. It's pretty much Solomon's last words in this book. Okay, after 12:8, we're not going to hear from Solomon anymore. The author ends it for us, right? Just like what the video says, there is an author and there is a teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's two speakers, right? At the beginning, it was the author. And then throughout the middle, all the way to the end, it was the teacher, Solomon. And then at the end, it's going to be the author again. So the text that we're taking right now is the last words of Solomon that he has for us in this book of Ecclesiastes. And in the verses that we're going to be taking up, Solomon is going to go back to the two main pillar points of this book, right? What are the two main pillar points? It showed it on the video: time and death. Time and death is what makes our lives here on earth hevel, right? Not meaningless, but what? An enigma, a paradox, a riddle, right? Time and death make our lives like that. It's unpredictable because of time and death. And in these last verses from Solomon, we will take a look at time in relation to our age, right? And then we will take a look at death as the ultimate destiny for all human beings. But again, in the midst of both of these constants in the human life, there is still enjoyment to be had while we are still alive. So it's like a roller coaster this morning, right? It's going to start off positive and then drop you down. And then going to bring you back up a little bit and then drop you down again. Okay, you'll see it in the text. So let's start. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. Light is sweet. It is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Woo! Right up there. What is Solomon telling us? Solomon is telling us that there are days when everything just falls into place. And life is enjoyable. Have you had any days like that where you woke up before your alarm sounded? You just woke up, you're so happy to be alive, just wake up before the alarm sounds, and yes, I'm happy, no aches and pains, no headaches. You're just happy to be alive. For me, that means waking up pain-free. I can't remember the last time I had no pain in my feet. I can't remember the last time that I was able to breathe through both nostrils. I've always only used one. I can't remember the last time. But there are days when both nostrils working, no pain in the feet. I even enjoy driving, right? When you drive and you just have the music blasting, you open your sunroof. Well, hopefully it's a sunny day, right? Open your windows, just let the air come in and just enjoy the drive. And there's days like that, Solomon says, right? And hopefully you guys enjoy the days that are like that, because those days are few and far between, right? So even though, yes, there are bad days, and there's a lot of bad days, but there are good days. And in Solomon saying, enjoy the good days while they're still there, because look what he says next. 8. Okay. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. Oh, it's still good. If you live many years, enjoy it. Right? So don't take for granted the good days of life. Soak it in. Enjoy every minute. Enjoy every blessing that comes your way. Stop looking and wanting for things that you don't have or can't have, and start enjoying the things that you do have, right? It's for us, it's watching HGTV. Every time we watch HGTV, you know HGTV? Home and Garden. Yeah. You're like, oh man, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice. Then you look at your house, it's like, oh. Or we go drive down Lakeshore. You know Lakeshore, where all the millionaires live? Woohoo! I wish, you know. My wife even's like, can we buy Lotto so we can move here? I'm like, no. But I would like to move there. It's nice. But what does that do to you? It makes you like not enjoy the stuff that you already have. Right? There's a saying in Filipino that goes, libre naman mangarap eh. Right? Well, in English, it means it's free to dream. It's okay to like dream and like, you know, wish for something. It's free, right? But you know what that does to you? When you keep looking at things that you don't have, or what does it do to you? There's some effect on us being unsatisfied. It gives us that feeling of unsatisfaction on the things we do have. You look and look and look, right? Those of you who have boyfriends and girlfriends, you keep looking around. Next thing you know, you're not satisfied with your girlfriend, like, thinking that the grass is greener on the other side, and then you get to the other side, you find a new boyfriend, you find a new girlfriend. It's not, it's the same. You just wasted your time. Right? Right, right. So looking, even though it's free to dream, it gives that sense of unsatisfaction, right? So King Solomon, the wisdom of King Solomon tells us, if you end up living many years, just enjoy the good days and even the bad. Find contentment in the simple things of life. Be satisfied and thankful for everything that God has allowed you to have. But, again, Solomon, being the grumpy old man that he is, goes on to the next part of the verse. So enjoy the good days. You know, those of you who live long, enjoy all the good days. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. And all that comes is vanity. So again, enjoy life. Yes, enjoy life, especially the good days. When everything is good and you have all that you need and some that you want, enjoy it. But remember, many dark days lie ahead, especially as you grow older. Who's old here? Everybody's young. Even in the book, everybody's young. You're only old when you're about to die. But everybody's young, right? But remember that, enjoy life, right? But you're going to get older, right? So I guess what Solomon is trying to say here is that the older we get, the more time we have to experience the happy things in life, like birthdays and the birth of a child, right? Anniversaries, all that stuff. You get to experience that the more you get older. The more you get older, the more you see more birthdays. The more you see more births, the more you celebrate more anniversaries. At the same time, the older you get, the more you will be witness to the deaths of loved ones. And the older you get, the more people you see die. And the more you see how the world is slowly spiraling more and more out of control. Right? Like, so from people who were born back in the World War, they saw the war. And then they saw prosperity. Ooh. And then right now, what's going on? Marijuana is legal now? What? Sex ed includes all kinds of genders. Male, female, L, B, G, T, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X. What's going on? But that's what you're going to have when, that's what you're going to witness when you get old. When you continue to get old and you live longer, that's, you're going to witness all of those things. It's like, I think it was Pastor Luis who told me, like, you know, he's gone through the cycle of life just by being a pastor. What does he mean? He said that he has dedicated a baby, married that same baby, buried that same baby. There are some, if you're a pastor long enough, that's what you'll do. You dedicate someone, you marry someone, and you bury someone. The same person a lot of times, right? But that's what happens. The older you get, the more you are. When it comes to ministry, the longer you are in ministry, you're going to witness those things. So it's not all good. There's also bad, right? Now, I haven't been in ministry that long to go through the cycle of life, but I'm sure the longer that I'm in it, the more I will be part of all the good times of all the members of the church and also all the bad times that life brings, right? And in the end, Solomon tells us that all that comes, all these things that are coming, good or bad, they are all vanity. Meaning that life, as life comes to an end, there will be much more days of hevel or smoke where life just doesn't seem to make sense, when everything is uncertain and cloudy, when nothing seems to work, both physically, emotionally, and even sometimes spiritually. And Solomon is telling us, when you have a good day, enjoy it. Right? But also remember that the dark days are just around the corner. 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes. But know, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. I like how Matt Chandler puts this verse. He says that the majority of people are stuck in their want-tos. They want to be godly men. They want to be godly women. They want to be godly mothers and fathers. They want all these things, but very few of them do anything to try to attain it. They just sit in the wants until the wants fade away into I wish I would have. Right? We kind of talked about this last week when Solomon talked about the farmer who missed sowing and harvesting. Why did the farmer miss sowing and harvesting last week? Because he was so concerned about the conditions. He wanted conditions to be perfect. A lot of us carry that same attitude, where, as Chandler says, we want to be all kinds of things, godly man, a godly woman, a godly father, a godly mother, a servant in the church, and on I could go. And Solomon is telling us, don't let your want-tos become I wish I would have. If you feel God calling you to a certain ministry, you don't have to wait for conditions to be perfect. Run through the door of opportunity that God opens for you. And by faith in him, do your want-tos. You want to be a godly father? Go to men's ministry, fellowship. You want to be a godly man? Attend prayer meeting. Be awake during service. Because a lot of us, we keep saying, I want to. But when it comes to service, asleep. How are you going to be, I want to? And then you wake up one day, you're old. Oh man, I wish I should have listened. I wish that you were, right? Don't live in regret that way, right? Do your want-tos while you're still young, for those of us who are still young. And for the older crowd, do your want-tos while you still can. It's one day you're going to want to serve. You can't anymore. Right? Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, Solomon says, because sooner or later, dark days will come, right? For the young people, now is the time to chase after God's call for your life. Don't miss out on any opportunities with this one life that we have been given to become all that Christ has put in your heart to become. If you're being called to leadership, if you're being called to missions, go for it now while you're still young. Again, if you're being called to ministry, run through every door of opportunity to become what you've been called by faith. If you're being called to missions, chase every opportunity to become what you have been called by faith while you are still young. Don't let that become want-tos. Because sooner or later, it's going to be, oh man, I wish I would have. And on the flip side of this call, I know that those are all godly calls. But there are some things that we do. I think how Solomon also puts it in there. This is what he means by this as well. There are those things that we can experience in life that is somehow more fun to do while we are still young rather than when we get old. Right? There are things that you do when you are still young that if you do it when you're old, it's not the same. Right? Like for me, it's going on long drives with my friends. Borrowing my dad's car. That was fun. It's not my car. I got my friends with me. Yee, fun, right? No response. Well, there is kind of some kind of responsibility, but it's minimal responsibility when you're young and you go through all that stuff, right? And it's more fun. Now, do I still go on long drives right now? Yes, but it's not as fun, right? Why? Because first of all, it's my car. I got big guys. I got kids now that I have to feed, right? The wife is there. Won't let me. Won't even help you drive. sometimes she does, but it's not as fun. It's a different. It's fun, but it's a different kind of fun than when you were 19. Let me put it that way, right? Now that I'm 42, yeah, it's a different kind of fun. I think Solomon is telling that as well to us in this verse. There are things we can experience that is different when we experience it when we are young than when we are old. But look at the warning that Solomon gives the youth. 11:9 is again. What's the warning? Yes, walk in the ways of your heart and sight of your eyes. Do what's fun right now while you're young, and a lot of those fun things are bad. Look at the warning. But know, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Again, a lot of these fun things that we want to do while we're still young, unfortunately, are not all good in the sight of God. They are not all godly things. I want to try smoking. I want to try drinking. I want to try the party scene. Isn't that what Solomon did when he was young? While he was young, he did the party scene, the drinking scene, the building scene, the buying scene, the collecting. He did all that stuff while he was young, because it's different when you're young rather than you're 60 and you're still at the clubs. It's different, right? And Solomon's saying, do these things, but remember, God will bring you into judgment. There are going to be consequences for all your actions. And I say this to all young people. Yes, do what you want to now while you're still young. Enjoy them. But remember, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And simply, this means that there will be consequences to everything that you do, and these consequences will be with you for life. So think about your actions in light of God, the judge. Amen, young people? I will still do the fun stuff. Right? Young people, you need to consider that when you're thinking of following your heart and to do your want-tos while you're still young, you need to consider God in it all the time. Again, look at what Solomon says following this warning. Verse 10. Remove vexation from your heart, put away pain from your body, for your youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Vexation means sadness. Sadness because of sin, because of the consequences that you face because of sin. So remove that from your heart, Solomon says. Matt Chandler puts it this way: deal with your junk while you are still young, because the older you get, the more it will cost you. All this means is that for young people, listen to the advice of the older, more mature, more experienced people in your lives. Right? It may seem that these people are out to destroy your enjoyment of life, but in reality, all that these people are doing is saving you from the pain and consequences of the bad choices you're about to make. Right? Solomon is saying, deal with these issues now while you are still young, because the older you get, the more it will cost you. Like, for example, myself, when I was young, I met my wife when I was 15, 15, 16, 15, 16. Yeah, we were always young. We were in a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, for 8 years. We got married when I was 23. Now, during that 8 years, I was foolish. Some of you know me as, I don't know if there's people here that still know me as that foolish kid. I did some foolish things. I didn't know what it means to commit to a relationship. Solomon's saying, deal with that now while you're still young. Imagine if I had to deal with that and I'm married and I have problems with commitment. While you're married, the costs will be high, especially when you have kids. That's why Solomon's saying, get that junk, deal with that junk while you're young. Learn from older, more wise people what it means to commit in a relationship, what it means to be a good boyfriend or a good girlfriend, so that when you get old and you become a husband, you'll be a good husband. Learn what it means to be a godly man, so that when you're old, you'll be a godly husband, be a godly father. But here's the hard thing, especially for me as a pastor and as a father. One of the hardest parts of being a pastor and a father is that you have some kind of this foresight that you gain through experience, right? And it enables you to see the end and sometimes even the consequences of someone's actions even before they do something. You have it as a father. You have the sense of, like a spider sense, like Spider-Man, before things happen, he has this spidey sense so he can get out of the way. You have that sense, but you have it for your kid or you have it for your members in the congregation, right? You see it. You know it's going to happen if they keep going this way, and you preach and you plead, but people still won't listen. It's frustrating, right? You plead and you reason with this person not to go through with what they're thinking of doing, but because of pride, they do it anyway. That's frustrating for our pastor and for our father. Even Eli once told me, why don't you let me make my mistakes? Why don't you let me make my mistakes and learn from them? I'm like, I'm already telling you what to do so that you don't make mistakes, so that there's no consequences. But did he still do it? Okay. The next thing you know, he's crying. He should have listened to you. Yeah, you should have. I told you already. I keep telling young people this. When I tell you what to do, I'm not, you know, trying to command you to do, you know, ruin your life or anything like that. I'm giving you the cheat sheet to life. Because I went through it. I don't want you to go through it as well, and I especially don't want you to go through the consequences. Right? But a lot of young people, because of pride, oh, they know everything. They won't listen. Right? They won't listen. It's frustrating in and of itself that you plead and plead and plead and reason and reason and reason and people don't listen. But what's more frustrating is, and painful, is to watch these people go through consequences. To watch them go through the consequences of what you warned them against. And they still go through it. The pain, the hurt. That's more frustrating for me. And no matter how much I preach or no matter how much I plead, some just choose to learn the hard way and have to have life kick the mess out of them before they realize and accept the truth. I was the same. Right? You're going to have to get beat up by life first before you listen. I've had a couple of young people who've told me that. And I've told them, you know what? Stay away from this. Don't do this. Did they listen? No. But after a couple of years, these same young people approached me and said, remember what you told me 2 years ago? I understand now. After life beats the mess out of them. Did they have to go through that beating? No, if they just listen. But I guess, you know what? God has his own plans for everybody. Some people will go through life's beatings. And some people will listen. Right? But it's just frustrating as a pastor and as a father to have to see, especially your son, to go through life's beating. Right? So Solomon is telling us, you know, don't wait for life to beat you down. Deal with your vexations now. Save your body from pain because you will not always be young. And the consequences of your actions will become more painful and real the older you get. All right? Keep moving. 12:1. Remember also the Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. So Solomon again reminds the youth, don't forget about God. Remember, he said this at the beginning, right? Remember that God will hold you into judgment, whatever actions that you do. Again, he reminds the youth, don't forget about God. Remember God in all your decisions. Remember God in all your actions, in all your relationships. Remember God will bring you into judgment. And also remember that these actions will come with it consequences that will last your whole lifetime. Don't want these consequences to last a lifetime. So remember God. Trust God. Trust the people that God brings into your life to tell you the truth and listen to them, right? Because one day you're going to wake up and you're not going to be young anymore, right? Then all of a sudden, these consequences are now real, right? You're going to wake up and you're going to have, instead of life with no responsibilities, there's a bunch of responsibilities on you now, right? No more life with a wall to lean on. Your parents, they're old. They're going to die soon. No more life with, any responsibilities, there's going to be, right? Real life will hit hard and it will hit fast. So remember the Creator, because once the real world hits, He is your only source of strength and hope. Young people, remember? I've seen all of you, I've seen you grow up. You were like 2 or 3 years old. And then all of a sudden, they're like getting married. Life is quick. I remember some of you talking to me before. I'm only 18. I got my whole life ahead of me. Now they're 26, 30. Right? It's quick. And if they don't listen, if you don't listen, you know, wake up one day and you're old. And the consequences will hit hard and it will hit fast. Now, these next few verses, Solomon details for us the aging process. This is what happens, young people, to old people. And those of you who still think you're young, and I haven't experienced that, this will happen to you too. So we're going to go walk through this, okay? Let's go. Let's read it. 12 to 8. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, the day when the keepers of the house tremble and strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors of the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also what is high and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along. Desire fails because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about in the streets. For the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And 8, vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. Right? So what is Solomon talking about here? It's the aging process. So I'll let you guess, okay? So he tells us in chapter 11, Solomon says, enjoy the good days, especially while you can or while you're still young, because the dark days are coming when you will say, I have no more pleasure in them. You're going to make up one day and you're going to wish you were dead. That's what Solomon is saying, right? Then in the verses we just read, Solomon details the aging process. In verse 2, he says, he talks about the sun and the light and the moon are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. What is he talking about here? He's referring to our intellect, our minds, right? When your mind still works, there, if you see it in a computer screen, there's flashes of light, right? One day, blackout. No more light. He's talking about our intellect, saying one day we won't be able to think or remember or reason out the way we used to. That the day is coming when we will be slow to react and quick to forget. Who's there right now? I think I'm there. I forget easy. Like, you tell me your name after 2 seconds, what? Right? You'll get there. Those of you who are laughing, you'll get there. Right? Verse 3, what does Solomon say? That the day is coming when the keepers of the house will tremble. What's he referring to? Your hands and your arms, the keepers of your house. What keeps your house? What fixes your hair? What brushes your teeth? What puts on your shoes? Arms and hands. One day, those will tremble. You're already trembling? The older you get, your arms and hands will betray you. They will not work as they used to, and simple tasks become difficult or sometimes even impossible. You won't be able to button your shirt anymore, put on your watch, tie your shoes. And then he goes on to say that the strong men are bent. What is he talking about? He's referencing the legs, right? Strong men are bent. I'm not old yet, but the strong men are bent with me already. Seriously, I'm feeling this now. I can't remember the last time I woke up without any pain in my legs. It's always painful. Some of you guys, next day, you'll get gout too. I'm not wishing it on anybody, but it's just that's where it's coming from. Your legs will get old. And, you know, we used to be able to do all that. No more. Just, you know, stick your time. It's true. And you know what they say? What the older you get, you're just returning to your when you were a baby. Right? Babies can't walk. When you're old, you need a walker, like a baby. Babies have no teeth. When you get old, babies can't talk. When you get old, same thing. You're just returning to where you began, right? That's what it says in the next one. And the grinders cease because they are few. What is the grinder? Some of you don't have teeth right now. You're just wearing false teeth. In the Philippines, right? That's the thing. They don't forget, you know, curing it. You forget like, fixing your teeth. Just take it out and just put false. The grinders will cease because they are few, right? And then what does he say? Those who look through the windows are dimmed. What is it referencing to? The can't read anymore. I can't see anymore. Everything is dim. And the doors of the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low. What do you think that means? Not yet. Still teeth, right? The doors of the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low. It's still teeth. You know why Solomon says this? Because in those days, there were no dentures. Have you seen somebody with no dentures? Like their chin can touch the nose, right? But that's what it is, right? Have you seen anybody with no dentures? Is it just me? Right? Their chin can pretty much touch the nose. That's why it says the doors on the street are shut. Because there's no dentures. There's no more. And the person has no more teeth, right? And then it says what? And one rises up at the sound of a bird. The older you get, you know, the less deep our sleep will be. Right? So you go to sleep early, you wake up early. And then in between, you wake up several times. Oh, I need to pee. Oh, I need. That's true. Old people, right? That's why we have in the Philippines, we have the Arenola. So you don't have to go to the washroom. You just do it right there. It's true though, right? The older you get, you can't control the bladder anymore. You don't want to wear a diaper. That's embarrassing. Yeah, just buy Arenola. Just keep your pee in your room. That's less embarrassing. It's not. That's what happens, right? What else does he say? The daughters of song are brought low in reference to can't hear anymore. It's funny how these people that can't hear, the old people, when you start yelling at them, they get angry. Why are you yelling? Because you can't hear. Listen, man, a lot of there's we're thinking as a board to have some kind of help for our people, our older members that can't hear. So we're going to have like a transmitter on you so that you can hear what's being said on the mic. Because some older people can't hear anymore. Right, so we want them to have that transmitter on them, and we're going to broadcast the sermon through that transmitter so that they can hear. But yeah, it's true, like the hearing goes, right? What else? They are also afraid of what is high, and terrors are in the way, right? The older you get, the more paranoid you get, right? The more afraid we are of simple things, like people, older people are afraid to trip. And they're so afraid to trip that they walk really slow. They don't want to trip. Because once you trip, who knows? You break your face, break your... Right? They're so afraid of those things. And that this fear of everything around you is moving faster and faster. Meanwhile, you're getting slower and slower. We'll get to that point. I used to laugh at people with gout. Now look at me. Okay? And listen, like same thing. Right? My dad is. I'm like, we took him to a restaurant. I'm like, okay, let's walk to the car. And he's like looking where to step, because he tripped once and he couldn't stop his fall. So now he's afraid to walk because he might trip again. Right? It's going to come one of these days. What does it say next? The almond tree blossoms. Now, this is a hard one. I get it. But if you know what the almond tree is, when the almond tree is blossoming, it brings out all these flowers, white blossoms. When they're done, the flowers are done, and the wind blows, all the petals of the flowers are gone. So what is this reference to? Hair. You will start losing your hair. That's when I come in and ha, 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 ha. I was way ahead of my time. Now you're just catching up. You will lose your hair. And there's some people who just won't accept it, so they grow their hair longer and they cover up the bald. My advice to you is just give it up. Just you can't go anywhere. It's going to go. It's not like you all watch all these miracle cures. No, it doesn't work. But they take hair off your leg and put it on your head. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You're going to lose your hair. The grasshopper drags itself along. What is that reference to? Difficulty in moving. Right? Old people, they have to drag themselves along because everything is failing. Right? And this is the last one that Solomon puts. Desire fails. It's a desire to have sex. It fails. And it's funny how Solomon puts it last, right? Yeah, so he has no more teeth. He's bald. He's old. And then desire fails. But yeah, this, it's not just talking about sexual desire. It's talking about if you used to love fishing, you won't always love fishing. If you used to love watching sports, you won't always love watching sports. I used to love playing video games. I don't like it anymore. I used to watch cartoons. I don't watch cartoons anymore. It's those desires, not just sexual desires, but it's those desires. They will fail. Those of you who love to go shopping, one day you're going to hate to go shopping. Some of you are probably telling me, no, that day will never come. No, no, no. It will come. You're gonna hate it. One day shopping is gonna be a chore and it's not gonna be fun anymore. Right? And Solomon ends this up by saying, well, because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go by on the street. Ultimately, again, the destiny of all men is death. Hebrews 9:27. What does it say? It has been appointed for men to die once. And then comes judgment. Right? So yes, we all are going to grow old. And all this stuff will happen to all of us. And then we're going to die. And then it's going to be just God in judgment. We're all going to face it, right? But not all of us will grow old. Not all of us will die because of old age. Some of us will die young. What happens to these people? Solomon says it in verses 6 to 8. Before the silver cord is snapped, what do you think that's in reference to? Spinal cord injury. So when your spine snaps, you're dead right away. Right? Don't even wait till you get old. The golden bowl is broken. Traumatic head injury. The pitcher is shattered at the fountain. Heart attacks. Not everybody is going to grow old in here. Some of you are going to die early because of these reasons. Or the wheel broken at the cistern. It references the lack of blood circulation in a person's body. Then death. Right? And then the dust returns to the earth as it was. The spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. And again, this is referring back to verses 11:9 and 12:1. Solomon is saying that when this life is over, there will be one God and one judge. Remember him. For when your time on earth is over, you will either face him in dread and terror, or you will face him with love and excitement. As we began this book, right, Solomon already told us what his conclusion is. Life is vanity. All is hevel. All is vanity. He ends with that phrase, all is vanity. That's Solomon's conclusion, that nothing in this world will remain. Not your riches, not your fame, not even your youth will remain. All of those things are vanity. They are hevel. They are like smoke or vapor that is here now and gone the next. When it happens, when that day comes and you're all back to the dust where we came from, one thing will remain. That is God. God will remain. Question is, do you know who God is? When your time comes, will it be filled with terror and dread, or will you be filled with love and excitement? We'll find out next week, all right, as we take up this last section of Ecclesiastes, the section in which the author closes out the book. Okay, then we'll find out, right? Those of you who know God, how do you know him? Right? Do you know him as a loving father, giver, or as just an angry God who's sitting up there in heaven just waiting to just throw a lightning bolt at you every time you make a mistake? How well do you know God? So that when you meet him, is it going to be dread? Is it going to be terror? Or is it going to be excitement and love? Come back next week for our conclusion of this great book of Ecclesiastes. Amen? All right, let's pray.